Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
Let's go to Steelers camp now, and we're joined by Alex Cazora. Alex, welcome back.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All three quarterbacks, but in particular Trubisky and Pickens, created a lot of buzz by what they did against Seattle. So what did you like about the top two in particular?
Yeah, I think to your point, all three did well. I think Trubisky showed that mobility, you know, that touchdown he had, roll out to his left, hit a wide open Gunnar Olszewski. Haven't seen a quarterback move like that in quite some time in Pittsburgh. And then with Pickett, just being consistent, on time, accurate overall, ran that, you know, game winning drive exceptionally well. A lot of trust showed in Pickett by Mike Tomlin. So just, you know, laying a good foundation of playing mistake free, taking the profit, doing all the little things right you have to as a quarterback. Both of those things and all of those things really impressed me with Kenny Pickett for a first time out.
So you're trying to look, Alex, to, you know, you got to be picky-oon about this sometimes. So here's a picky-oon question. Pickett has had a tendency in his college career, and it did show up the other night against Seattle too. He can hold on to the ball a little longer than some. Is there any concern that he holds on to? Because, I mean, that was Ben's MO when he came up. Mm-hmm. Ben held on to the ball a long time. Any concern about that in terms of how you watched it the other night, even though he had complete success?
Sure, that definitely was a concern of mine at Pitt. You know, last year he had an average snap to throw time of 3.19 seconds. That was sixth highest in the FBS. The first week this summer, it felt like he was having those similar problems. I didn't see it as much of an issue against Seattle. I timed every snap to throw that he had in all 15 attempts. It actually was second. After things that I saw, that ball snap time, being anticipatory, getting the ball out on schedule, top tier drop. So I think he's sped up quite a bit from where he was at last year at Pitt and even compared to his first week of training camp just a couple of weeks ago.
All right, we talked about Trubisky and we talked about Kenny Pickett. The odd man out in this is probably going to be, in the end, Mason Rudolph. So what happens with him, and what can his NFL future be like after this Steelers situation?
That's a really good question, Steve. Still a battle. I don't want to cement Kenny Pickett into that number two spot quite yet. I think him and Mason Rudolph will battle this thing the rest of the summer. You know, could Rudolph get traded? That's possible if a team came calling. I don't know if Pittsburgh is going to, you know, pick up. I think they would pick up the phone. I don't think they're going to make that call to potentially trade Mason Rudolph. But really what Rudolph is a competent number two quarterback. He was billed as a potential heir to Ben whenever he was drafted. That's not going to happen, but he's a serviceable spot starter overall. And so if a team needed a backup somewhere else and they were interested, maybe Pittsburgh would make that move, but I think they want to keep their quarterbacks, keep their options open. But in terms of that backup spot, right now it's still Rudolph and Pickett fighting for that number two role to start the season.
Interesting. Okay. Give us a read on George Pickens, the second-round pick out of Georgia, who is now, 16 months maybe removed from his ACL? He's been the buzz there. Why?
Yeah, it was just March of 2021, he tore that ACL, and he's been the buzz because he's making all the high-level plays. In any contested jump ball situation, we call those 50-50 balls. When it's thrown to George Pickens, it's more 80-20 in Pickens' favor. He's been fantastic in terms of being able to high point and track and make some of those really elite-level type plays. Saw it in training camp on a near-daily basis and saw that Saturday against Seattle with that great toe-tap catch for a 26-yard touchdown from Mason Rudolph, which was a great throw, by the way. So the fluidity, all the traits are there, the hand catching. I mean, he's going to work on his route running and be a more refined player overall, work on his release packages, but all the traits you need to be a great receiver are there. He gets coached up a little bit. This dude's going to be a stud.
How much did Anthony McFarland help himself against Seattle?
Quite a bit. He's had a really good camp, and oh boy, does he need a good camp because he was very much on the bubble entering this summer. He ran hard. He took care of the football. He's getting work in two running back pony groupings. He's caught the ball well overall. He's fighting a rookie, Jaylen Warren, who's kind of been one of the camp darlings and buzz guys. Warren's a different type of guy, more power, more stocky, but McFarland really works well in Matt Canada's offense. Canada's going to get to really run his offense this year without Ben, so McFarland, I think, is still in that driver's seat, but I thought what McFarland did against Seattle certainly helped his cause.
Is Devin Bush doing anything to help his cause?
I wish he was. He's not. It was a tough game against Seattle. I don't think he had a single tackle, and there was one run where Travis Homer cut the run back right in front of him, and Bush didn't get a hand on him. Bush was unblocked the entire play, did not touch the running back. And so his camp's been just okay. I think Robert Spillane has outplayed him. But Bush, you know, in a critical do-or-die year last year, his rookie contract, he may start the year, but I don't know how much, you know, rope he's going to have. This is going to be probably, almost certainly, Devin Bush's last year in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's too bad. I mean, the knee injury took a lot out of him. He great lateral quickness, so he's lost some of that. But he never was really a great fundamental player when he was at Michigan. And I think it's and this is the time he needs to be a fundamentally better player.
Absolutely. You got to be, to play in Pittsburgh, you better stop the run. That's where it begins. Pittsburgh 32nd in run defense last year, historically bad unit, averaging 5.0 yards per carry on the ground. And so their mission is to stop the run. And so, you know, Bush may be a good athlete overall in terms of the time and the testing, but I think he's not playing as fast to that time speed and coverage. You know, he's a good athlete, but is he technical? No, he struggles with being able to stay in phase and find the ball and finish the play and things like that. So everything seems to be a tick slow for him on the field. And so it doesn't matter if you run a 4.4 in shorts. If you're slow on the field, you're going to play, you know, to a much slower time. And unfortunately, Bush, just that consistency, physicality, getting off of blocks, have not seen that from him enough. And that's certainly going to put him in a bad spot.
Alex Cazora joining us. Alex, earlier I had Glenn Mack now on the show from Eagles camp. And I said a lot of this comes down to, especially if you're a good team to a better team, of roster spots 40 to 53. So in that range of 40 to 53, in watching not just camp, but the preseason opener with Seattle, who sticks out who has a better chance of making 40 to 53?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think the battle's still being determined for a lot of those final spots, but a receiver like Miles Boykin, who was a big height, weight, speed guy out of Notre Dame, Pittsburgh claimed him off of waivers this offseason when Baltimore dumped him. You know, that's a guy fighting hard for a spot to try to be that sixth wide receiver. He's a guy that can make plays downfield vertically. He's a good blocker, and he's a really strong special teams player and showed that against Seattle. Some other guys, like a seventh-round pick like Mark Robinson, he's got run-and-chase ability. He's a hard hitter. He's a high-energy kind of guy. Can he run backwards? Is he comfortable in coverage? He's a former running back, played 1 year at linebacker at Ole Miss. He's still trying to make that conversion. Connor Hayward's a name that got a lot of buzz on day three of the NFL draft. Obviously, Cam Hayward's younger brother, he's shown good athleticism, good hands. They're trying to use him as a more of an inline wide tight end. He's an undersized guy, lacks length. Some issues there, but he's fighting hard for a roster spot. So those are three names of guys that are going to be needing to fight and compete and battle down to the wire to secure their place on this roster for week one against the Bengals.
So let's get back to the quarterbacks for a moment. This is the first time Mike's ever had to do this because he had been the entire time in his tenure there. Have you felt like the Steelers, that Mike, the coaching staff, and the organization have embraced this as a challenge to show everybody they can do it?
Oh, yeah. I think Mike Tomlin set that tone from day one. He's not hit at all. This is a battle. This is a competition. Although I will say, I mean, Trubisky was basically said to be the starter from day one back in the spring, and I think it basically was Trubisky's job to lose throughout this process, and nothing he's done so far has lost that spot. But I think Tomlin, he loves a good challenge. You know, he loves that newness. He's been a coach for a long time, and he's done most of everything but picking a quarterback, not one of them, as the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I think he embraces that adversity. He might like it a little less once the season begins and you're facing some other top quarterbacks, but for the here and now, I think he likes that battle and watching guys compete and bring out the best in each other.
In seeing Trubisky in camp and then seeing it for a brief period of time against Seattle, what do you like about him, Alex? What gives you pause?
I think what I like about him is that mobility, the overall accuracy and command. I think he's a really above-the-net kind of player, good leader, and this team certainly needing that kind of leadership when you lose a guy like Ben, when you overhaul the Steelers' offensive line the way they have the last 2 years. It's a young group guy. It's probably the youngest offense in football. Young skill guys, young offensive line. It's a pretty young quarterback room overall, so someone has to take command of that. Trubisky has. The thing that gives me pause is just the up-and-down play. You've seen some good from Trubisky in practice and in that preseason game. You've seen some bad from Trubisky. some bad days overall. When you have kind of up and down and flighty quarterback play, it's really hard to get into a rhythm as an offense and by extension as a team. And again, when you're facing an AFC North with some really good quarterbacks and Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, if he ever plays, you know, outside of that, the AFC, Mahomes and Josh Allen, guys who are consistently excellent week after week, if you're kind of fighting that battle, that the peaks and valleys, that's just a tough position to be in. So I think Pittsburgh's going to get some good plays from Trubisky, but also some head-scratchers as well, and that's just going to make it for a very turbulent type of season.
A year ago, the Eagles bragged justifiably about their offensive line, and they feel really good about it now. The Steelers were 180 of that. It was a struggle. What have you seen from the offensive line so far this preseason?
Well, I will say on the positive side, they've been healthy and have been able to work together, and we know that it, offensive line plays less about the individual and more about the collective. It's a one-fail-we-all-fail kind of mindset, and so they've gotten a lot of reps and a lot of work overall, guys. Generally been healthy and available from an on-field perspective. The run blocking's been better. The pass protection has been an adventure, and I'm being charitable when I use that word. And so I think it's still the young guys overall trying to mesh together. Right guard James Daniels, the big prize free agent, has not had a great summer overall, so hopefully he gets better going forward. He really has to. I think this team will improve in terms of run blocking and pass pro. I think it'll be a struggle this year.
All right, so that now brings us back to the quarterbacks. What kind of payoff is Trubisky's mobility because of what you just said?
Well, it's going to be important. I think you saw that in the game. There was one play where Daniels missed the blitz, and a guy came free from Seattle, and Trubisky was able to break the tackle and get 4 yards out of it. That would have been a sack last year if that was Ben. And so certainly that quarterback mobility is going to help, changing the launch point, moving the quarterback off of the spot on boots and rollouts and things like that to probably mitigate some of the offensive line issues overall to get the ball out quicker overall as well. So certainly these quarterbacks are going to have to be mobile, and it's a good thing that they are because they're going to have times this year where they're going to be running for their lives.
Yeah, and that'll be an issue. Have they said what they're playing? I mean, Freiermuth didn't play. I don't think Harris played, did he, in the game?
No, he did not.
Is there a chance they'll get into game two just to get them in?
Yeah, I think they'll use the second game here upcoming against Jacksonville as their quote-unquote tune-up game. Harris had dealt with a foot injury. He's healthy. He returned in practice in full today, so that's a good sign. They may sit him out because he's going to get the ball, you know, 300-plus times this year in terms of carrying it, so I'm cool if he wants to sit out the entire summer. But I imagine they're going to use this Saturday's game as the tune-up game where you'll see Freiermuth and Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson and Trubisky play a little bit longer to kind of get those guys some work with the new quarterback.
What did you think of the signing of Johnson?
I was all in favor of it. I think Pittsburgh got a really good team-friendly deal. You know, all these these wide receivers getting paid $20+ million. Gary Terry, DK Metcalf, Debo Samuel. List goes on. And Pittsburgh getting, you know, well below that in the $18.5 million range or so on a 2-year deal. So it's a little quicker deal for Deontay Johnson to become a free agent again. But I know the drops have been an issue with him, but they really were cleaned up last year. And overall, he is the number one receiver in this offense. A really high volume guy. A guy that will get better. So I thought it was a really economical deal, and I'm happy that it happened.
Always a pleasure, Alex. Appreciate your insight very much.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Take care.